look at the waiver wire on this Tuesday morning. We're going to tell you why Blake Bortles, Eric Ebron, and of course, James Starks should be on your radar. This is Fantasy Football Today presented by Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter the offer code FUN at checkout. Get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. It's a two-man show. Adam Azer and... I'm going to let the listeners think about it. Who is it? Is it Dave? Is it Jamie? Is it Heath? Is it Nick? Who are you, mystery guest?
It's me.
Hey, what's
my
up,
name is
Dave?
David, and I play fantasy football.
Does anybody call you David?
My parents and my wife when she's mad at me.
Oh. How do you feel about it? You like it? Dislike it?
No, if I liked it, I'd be called David all the time. I like Dave better. I did the transition from David to Dave when I was in junior high school.
I like Dave better. And now I always call it middle school, Dave.
You're a middle child, aren't you? Oh, no, you're the baby.
I'm the youngest, yeah.
How do I not know that?
Anyway, you do know that. Atlanta, Indianapolis, San Diego, and San Francisco are on bye this week. Atlanta, Indianapolis, San Diego, San Francisco. Dave, are you ready for the stat of the day?
No.
Well.
Hold on.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Give it to me, baby.
Now, here's the thing about the stat of the day. I don't know if it's a real accurate stat. I am making it up, but I feel pretty confident.
In the last seven times, a player has thrown a pass. Four times it's been completed, maybe.
Here we go. Jay Cutler scored exactly 21 fantasy points in a 6-point per passing touchdown league for the fifth straight game.
Yes, he did.
That is the first time in NFL history a quarterback has ever scored exactly 21 fantasy points in five straight games. Do you think that is accurate?
I've got that data going back to 2012.
Really?
Yeah, I don't even have to double check it. I know that that's the case.
Yeah, there's just no way that's ever happened before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really weird. So let me just ask you a crazy overreaction question. Just for fun. With Malcolm Floyd now injured, Jay Cutler or Phillip Rivers rest of season?
You think the Malcolm Floyd injury is going to change my mind on Phillip Rivers?
Look, he scored 17 fantasy points last night. It was,
It should have been more.
I know. Antonio Gates had a touchdown.
I will take Phillip Rivers over Mr. 21.
Yeah, I know. Everybody would. I just wanted to throw that out there. Hey, we're going to come back to that game in a little bit. Send us your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll tell you who to pick up. We got the drop-o-meter as well.
Drop-o-meter,
sure, whatever. The big news, though, Deion Lewis tore his ACL. They start this at the Giants this week, and obviously a lot of games after that. So tell me what you're thinking about the New England backfield right now, Dave.
Yeah, LeGarrette Blount will continue in his role as the grinder, for lack of a better term. And they're probably going to figure out someone to come in and take on a decent amount of that Deion Lewis role. But I think ultimately that production will not fall on another running back's shoulders. I don't know if it will all fall on LeGarrette Blount's shoulders. I think it's going to fall on Tom Brady's shoulders. And this is just going to make the Patriots pass more.
What about Amendola?
I think he could be a benefactor. I think Julian Edelman can be a benefactor. And obviously Gronk and Scott Chandler and all those inside players. Brandon LaFell.
Well, but Amendola fills the Deion Lewis role a little bit, right?
We saw that earlier this season, yes.
Which, Bolden or White, who's your preference?
I got to pick one?
Yeah.
See, this is the thing. I'm not chasing either one.
Okay.
And if I had to pick one, I would say White, because every time in the past X amount of years when there's been a Patriots injury, we'd say, well, maybe Brandon Bolden. And then it's never Brandon Bolden. Right. Maybe this time it is, but I'm going to say no. And even if it is, I don't care. LeGarrette Blount's going to be that main back.
And the thing is, James White was inactive last week because Deion Lewis was healthy, but he's the guy who would theoretically step into that role, right?
I think that's what you can expect. I know that there's talk that the Patriots are going to sign another running back, and we'll see. But if they had liked James White enough during the preseason, he would have been in there instead of Deion Lewis in the first place.
Jack,
this is his second year with the team. I'm not ready to commit a roster spot to James White unless there's just nothing else out there. He's not a priority pickup for me.
Jack Del Rio thinks Latavius Murray is going to play this week against Minnesota.
Good. That's really good.
Teddy Bridgewater might be able to play as well in the same game.
That's good. You know, that hit that Bridgewater took was so nasty.
Yeah, it was bad.
I'm glad he's going to be okay.
Green Bay offensive coordinator Edgar Bennett says that the Packers need to get Eddie Lacy going, Dave.
Oh, it's on the Packers that Eddie Lacy is struggling. Oh, see, all this time I thought that maybe the player had something to do with it. Oh, I guess the coaches have something to do with it.
We like, obviously
as if they've made the decision in their minds. Let's let Eddie Lacy slide for a while.
I think you're taking it a little bit too literally. I think it's more like we got to do something about Eddie Lacy, but
yeah,
but
you know what they need to do about him? They need to put him on the bench and let James Starks play.
Well, what should fantasy owners do? This was obviously a hot topic yesterday. You didn't get to weigh in, so give me your thoughts on Eddie Lacy right now.
I would be stunned if Eddie Lacy was the main back in Green Bay next week or against Detroit.
Would you be surprised if he was still the goal line back though?
No, but I think if James Starks starts the game well and plays well, then he'll be the goal line back because the Packers are going to want to reward him. I love Starks this week.
Against Detroit.
Yeah. It's the matchup more than anything.
But let's just get this out there. We said it yesterday. We'll say it again today. Do not drop Eddie Lacy.
No.
Alan Hearn sprained his foot. They're at Baltimore. So we'll tell you about potential replacement.
Hopefully he plays.
Yeah. Hope so.
I mean, he's really been great.
Yeah, and I really want to pick up Blake Bortles, so this would make it a little less exciting.
That's a good player to add. I don't know if you guys got into this or not on Monday, but James Starks had 71% of the snaps.
Well, Lacy left with the groin injury.
Right.
So the Jets might be without Antonio Cromartie and two safeties, Deion Bailey and Calvin Pryor, this week, so you could look for Tyrod Taylor. How do you feel about Taylor on this Thursday night game at the Jets?
I never like risky non-running backs on Thursdays.
Okay.
Especially this late in the year. If he has a good game, it's going to be from my bench. I can find another quarterback that I like.
Wes Welker is back, Dave, with the Rams.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Well, look, I like any fantasy fan, I love this guy for much of his career in New England and early on in Denver. But everybody has the same concern, and that is, can he take a hit to the helmet? Is he going to survive? And I don't know. I can't expect a big year from Wes Welker. There are a lot of people who are already tweeting me saying, oh, we should add him, right? We should go get him. I don't see it that way. I don't think that he's going to be a big factor for the Rams.
This just in, hot off the presses, an email to our account from Mike. Should I drop James Jones for Wes Welker?
No, absolutely not. I know Jones has been disappointing, but Welker might have one good game.
Okay.
And it might not even be this week. He might not play.
I got to say, though, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't drop James Jones for Wes Welker. But if you need to pick someone up, I think James Jones, I could feel stupid about this if he catches four passes and two of them are touchdowns.
Right.
But I think he's...
He plays Detroit this week, so be careful.
I think he's close to droppable because in the two games that Davante Adams has been healthy and not playing Seattle and Richard Sherman, because he's been healthy for three games this year, he's gotten a lot of targets, and James Jones hasn't. I think
Jones has also seen some really good coverage in the last 2 weeks.
He has. They all have. But I feel, Dave, like the best has already come from James Jones. Like
maybe, but I think that he could also have a good game this week.
Okay. And Aqib Talib is a mean person. He's a meanie.
He's a heel. You know, in pro wrestling, the bad guys are called heels.
Mm.
And one of the moves that bad guys often have is they'll poke the good guy right in the eye.
Yeah, he poked Dwayne Allen in the eye, and then he jumped off the top rope and hit him with a chair in the back. And he is suspended for one game. And DeMarcus Ware is out 2 to 4 weeks with a back injury as the Broncos face Kansas City. Still holding on to the Broncos DST, though?
Of course.
Okay. Who are your top three or four or two or whatever? I always ask top three. You guys never give me exactly three names. So who are some of your top waiver wire priorities?
James Starks is at the top of the list. And I know 40% of leagues is out there. You can still go get him. If you can't get him and you have Eddie Lacy, shame on you for not having him backed up. He would be at the top for me. And I don't know if I've got a second one that I'm really excited about. Maybe Eric Ebron. Because I like Eric Ebron, but the whole Lions offense makes me very, very nervous. Bortles would be another one, but he's already 65% owned, and you need to be in the right kind of situation for Bortles. part of me wants to say this, Adam. Part of me wants to say, pick up Bortles even if you don't need them, just so your opponents can't get them. But I think that's going to be real specific. It depends on what your bench looks like and who's on your bench and what you need. If you're real confident in your starters for the rest of the season, go ahead and pick up Bortles and stash him if you can.
If you can't, then
don't worry about it.
I feel like he's a must-add, even if you don't need him, unless you have a quarterback that you would never consider sitting.
If you've got too many platoons going on at running back or receiver or tight end, maybe you're carrying two nice defenses and you just don't have that bench space, then Bortles cannot be a priority for you.
It depends
on your situation.
I would not carry two DSTs.
I would not either.
Like you said it though. Bortles could beat you if you don't pick him up. And Bortles might be better than the guy you're starting. He's got such a good schedule coming up.
Yes, he does. Yes. So it does depend on your own specific situation and who you play. Maybe you peek ahead to see, who your opposing quarterback is in week 10. And if you have waiver priority and can steal Bortles away from your opponent, it'll help you out.
And he faces New Orleans, as we talked about in Week 16. We talked about that yesterday. New Orleans in Week 16, that's terrific.
As we go on in the podcast today, I will cull my list of top waiver ads. I know Starks is at the top. We'll see if we can find a number two.
Yeah, and Hearn's injury obviously plays a factor here too. But a couple guys who might be available in 10-team leagues, unbelievably, Sammy Watkins is only 83% owned.
Mm-hmm.
And DeSean Jackson, I think, is probably around 80% owned. And I think he might have a nice week this week, Dave.
I think he does, too.
Yeah, they got New Orleans, so
good
look for him. I think Matt Jones might be worth the risk. Jamie put him in the waiver wire column. I look back at Matt Jones's matchup, and I think if you look at all of his matchups, look at the defenses he played when he played them, he's had almost every week a bad matchup.
This is true.
It's weird. And they are about to get much easier for Matt Jones. He's available in about half our leagues. I'm not saying I love Matt Jones, but he's better than Alfred Morris. They don't seem to like Alfred Morris. I see some opportunity there if you're starved at running back. Dave, what do you think about Jones?
Well, if you read Jay Gruden's comments on Sunday, he spoke about how he's been promising to get Alfred Morris in the run game going, and he mentioned Morris specifically for a month, and he hasn't been able to do it, and he's not giving up. Jones fumbled in the game and lost the ball against New England. I don't think Gruden is going to take it to the extreme with him, but if you notice, Jones didn't play another snap the rest of the game, or at least he didn't have another carry. Can't say for sure that he didn't play another snap, but he might not have. I think Alfred Morris is going to start the next game as their lead back. I am not sure that Jones is going to be in that goal line role, and I'm not sure he's going to split the running downs duties 50-50 with Alfred Morris. Morris might see a big edge against New Orleans, and this is a great matchup for Morris to get that opportunity in.
Okay.
So it's one thing if you want to add Matt Jones and stash him and see what happens.
Yeah.
It's another thing to pick up Matt Jones with the intention of starting him this week.
If both Redskins running backs are available, which one are you picking up?
That's an interesting question. I think if I needed a guy for this week, for sure it would be Morris. I have a feeling that Alfred Morris will be the better running back this week.
But long-term, you'd go Jones.
Long-term rest of season? You know, let's take a look at their schedule, if you can afford
it. I have it.
Do you have it,
yes.
Their rest of season schedule?
Yes, I do. Included with
go ahead and let's see how many easy matchups they have.
I have their next four games, so let's just focus on that.
All right, fine.
Saints.
Good.
At Carolina.
Not good.
Giants. Excellent.
Yeah, it's good.
No, it's excellent. Now
it's not excellent.
Their best run defender is out for the year.
That's true. All right, it's good.
And Dallas, Dallas gives up the most fantasy points to running backs. Which I was surprised to see.
I'm surprised to hear that. Are you sure?
Yeah, 32nd.
I'm looking that up.
Well, they had the Devontae Freeman game that boosted them. Last week, DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews both had big games. And Stephen O came on. You weren't on this show. Stephen O came on. This is actually before one of their best defensive performances against a running back, before the Seattle game, and he said that Dallas typically gives up more yards per carry two running backs than other opponents of that running back. Basically, like they were statistically deceiving. They were worse than what their stats showed against the run.
I looked it up. You're right. They are dead last in fantasy points allowed to running backs. They're giving up 4.3 yards per carry and a touchdown per game.
So I think three of the next four matchups look pretty good for the Redskins. And again, take a flyer if you've got the open roster spot. Dave, let's move on. We'll come back to the waiver wire
later. I would
take
Jones over Bortles, for example, if I didn't need a quarterback.
All right. Well, these days, a lot of people need to make websites, Dave. Portfolios, online stores. A lot of people are using Squarespace. I use Squarespace. I loved it. I recommended it to anyone I knew that needed to make a website. Now I'm recommending it to you. And I honestly do speak from personal experience. And it's not just me. Millions of people around the world trust Squarespace because Squarespace makes building your website easy and affordable. You don't need to know any coding. You don't need to spend a lot. Starts at just $8 a month. You get a free domain if you sign up for a year. Squarespace has a bunch of templates to choose from, so many different ways to design your website. You're going to love it. Trust me, if you need to make a site, you need Squarespace. So start your free trial site today with no credit card required at squarespace.com. And when you sign up, use the offer code that we've given you. That is FUN. You're going to get 10% off your first purchase. So build it beautiful at Squarespace. I've got a little fantasy story for you, Dave.
I want to hear it. Does it have to do with a trade?
No. Oh, let's talk about that first.
Oh.
You are such a liar. You lied through your teeth this morning on Twitter.
When?
Or last night.
When I said I like Marshawn better rest of season.
Yes, you don't like Marshawn better than D'Angelo Williams.
No, I do. I wouldn't have made the trade otherwise.
In a PPR league, you'd rather have Marshawn Lynch than D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah.
Okay. Could have him.
Why would I have made the trade otherwise?
Because I pressured you into it.
No, oh my, you pressured me into doing
something. And Zach from Akron, who called our show and said, Dave, your trade chart says Marshawn Lynch over D'Angelo. We pressured you.
You are giving yourself way too much credit. Young
well,
Adam.
I'm thrilled with the trade.
I know you are. I would be too if the guy I just traded for had a big game.
Why would you rather have Marshawn Lynch over D'Angelo?
Because I think Marshawn's going to be very consistent and very productive.
Well, all right, fine. Then I'll tell you my other story. So two leagues last night, podcast league. I'm trying to keep my undefeated record and our June draft. We drafted in June and we played the season out. I was playing you last night, Dave.
Okay.
And
oh,
I was.
So you won?
No. I was up by.
Good. I won.
No. I was up by six. We tied. I was up by 6 points against you and you had Antonio Gates in a standard scoring league. In the PPR podcast league, I was down by 12, and I had Antonio Gates. So I'm like, what combination can I get here to win both? I need like 8 catches for 50 yards, and I'll win both.
Uh-huh.
He gets 6 catches for 69 yards. That's 6 points in standard, 12 in PPR. I tied in 2 leagues yesterday.
That is crazy. And he
weird?
Was a yard off, 69 yards receiving, and he had a touchdown called back. Remember how I started Blaine Gabbert in one of my leagues?
Yes.
I lost by 5 points to Jim Lanzone.
Oh, no. Good
morning, Jim. Hope your jog is going well. And if Gates' touchdown had counted, if DJ Fluker wasn't out of position, I beat the boss with Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, wow.
I lost by 5 points. Just a heartbreaker. A karate kick to my lower loins.
Well, let's talk about this game here. Chicago 22 and San Diego 19. Jason Verrett was having a nice battle with Alshon Jeffrey, but he left the game early. Patrick Robinson, another cornerback for the Chargers, left the game early.
They're the team this year that can't stay healthy.
Are they? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they absolutely are. It was the Giants a couple of years ago, as you remember. And then, they're that team this year.
Yeah. Philip Rivers, 17 fantasy points, but should have been more. They have a bye this week. Danny Woodhead, Melvin Gordon. Give me your take on the Chargers running back situation here.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon just stinks. There's no other way to really put it. I don't know what his rushing average is for the season, but I know last night it was 2.8 and he looked every bit of it. And the targets, this was a situation where maybe the targets go his way a little bit because Keenan Allen's done for the year. Nope. Danny Woodhead had 10. Stevie Johnson had 10. Gates had 11. Dontrell Inman had 5. And I got a feeling Melvin Gordon wouldn't have even had 3 targets and 3 catches if Malcolm Floyd hadn't have gotten hurt. So he's cuttable. I hate to say it. If you want to stash him on your bench just in case he goes off, be my guest. But when are you going to feel confident to start Melvin Gordon? When's the next matchup where you'll look at San Diego and say, sure, Melvin Gordon, he's got a chance. Let's put him out there.
I mean, honestly, I feel like they got a bye this week. Kansas City's been pretty good against the run. Jacksonville is getting a lot better against the run.
They're very good against the run.
And then Denver. Those are his next 4 weeks. Bye, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Denver. Yeah, it's not looking good. Do you think Woodhead is going to really benefit from Keenan Allen's absence? Or is he going to continue to frustrate us and have big weeks and terrible weeks? In standard leagues, PPR more consistent, obviously. But in standard, is he going to be up and down?
What I like about Woodhead is there's a lot to like. Number one, the fact that Gordon stinks and Woodhead's already seeing more snaps. Yesterday, Woodhead had 40 snaps. Melvin Gordon had 27. I would imagine that that's going to be the case moving forward. I also like that the offensive line is a real sore spot for San Diego. And that means that they can run a play and put Woodhead out in space and they can throw to him. And that's an extension of the run game. Now, this is the third year that they've done that with Woodhead. And it's what New England used to do with Woodhead. So I like that about him. I think he is going to continue to play well. Is he going to be consistent? Probably not to the degree that we'd like. But I bet he'll have some weeks where he'll get you 70 total yards, and he'll give you some weeks where he gives you, 15 fantasy points.
Who would you rather have rest of season, Danny Woodhead or Eddie Lacy?
Woodhead.
Woodhead or Jeremy Hill?
I should probably say Woodhead, because I think his split, his situation in a split is better than Jeremy Hill's right now. And I almost think Cincinnati's at the point where they go, you know what? It is.
Stevie Johnson or Steve Johnson, whatever his name is, 7 catches, 68 Steven. Yards on 10 targets, 69% owned.
He prefers to go by the name Johnny Travolta.
He does?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because he's a Charger. Travolta.
Oh, Travolta. Is that true? He really does?
Yeah, look at his Twitter handle. That's what it was. Oh, I mean, you can rename yourself on Twitter without changing the actual name, the @ thing.
Uh-huh.
And so he changed it to Johnny Travolta.
Well, he's 69% owned. If he's out there on a waiver wire, are you interested?
Yeah, I'd stay alive with him.
Okay.
I mean, look who's talking. He's managed to step up and get those targets. And I don't think it's Pulp Fiction. I think he's real deal.
If on the waiver wire, Stevie Johnson would face off with, who's another wide receiver? I was working so hard on the John Travolta punt. Kamar Aiken. Who would you choose in that face-off?
Johnson.
All right.
I know we're supposed to be excited about Kamar Aiken because he's this number one receiver in Baltimore, but I'll take the number one receiver in San Diego.
Can you make the case to cut Jay Cutler with his 21 fantasy point streak because his next two matchups are at St. Louis and Denver, and they are the two best teams in the league against quarterbacks?
Yeah, I don't want to start Jay Cutler if I don't have to. Like, he's the perfect guy to drop kick out of your lineup and get Blake Bortles in there instead.
And my goodness, Jeremy Langford, what a great day. What do you think happens when Forte gets back?
I think Forte gets his job back exactly the way he had it. But I think we're getting a nice sneak peek at the Bears starting running back in 2016.
Mm-hmm. And my goodness, Martellus Bennett.
Oh, God, don't get me started.
third game with more than 5 points this year.
May I send a question out to our audience for them to respond with via email?
Sure.
I'd like to hear from those owners who have Martellus Bennett and what their approach is with him. Do they start him every week, rain or shine, no matter what? Do they have another tight end that they consider with Bennett from week to week? I'd like to hear from you. Please email me, Dave Richard, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Put podcast or Martellus Bennett in the subject line and let me know what you're doing with Martellus Bennett. And we'll have your answers on a future podcast.
Martellus Bennett is almost universally owned and he's facing.
What was his start percentage?
I think it was in the 70s.
All right. So most people are starting him. So we'll get a lot of emails from people saying, I'm starting them and I like them, or I'm starting them because I have no one else.
But I guess, like, I always consider him a guy I never want to draft. And at this point in the season, now that October is over, honestly, droppable. Like, I could see Eric Ebron or Austin Seferian Jenkins having a better year than him. And I could see you just playing the matchups and considering Bennett has the Rams this week.
Right. You just went over the matchups for Cutler.
Yeah.
Obviously, those are the same matchups for Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, he has the Rams this week and the Broncos next week. Like, Ebron's got the Packers this week. Like, I would consider...
His touchdown was a total breakdown by San Diego. I mean, it was just... The Chargers are going to go back and watch that touchdown, and the coaches are going to be so mad.
I would consider the swap. How about this? Ebron has Green Bay this week. They're 22nd against tight ends, and then Oakland next week.
Yeah. I love Eric Ebron, too. And I think the offense that he's in gives him a chance at making more plays than the offense that Martellus is in. Martellus might get more targets, but I don't think they're like quality targets. Some of them are, sure. Like, well, touchdown, obviously.
Now, Austin Seferian Jenkins is 47% owned. He does not have good matchups the next 2 weeks. He faces Dallas, their ninth against tight ends.
Who knows how healthy he is?
Well, he's sat out a while. Dallas also could be without two linebackers, so that could actually help him. And then at Philadelphia, they've been very good against tight ends. They're second best against tight ends. The 3 weeks after that, though, for Seferian Jenkins, Indianapolis, Atlanta, and New Orleans, those teams rank 24th, 28th, and 31st against tight ends, respectively. With that said, I think it's time to start looking at the waiver wire, but I will run down just a few quick news items here. John Harbaugh hopes to get 4 games out of Breshad Perriman. He's officially off my radar, I assume, for you as well.
Well, what he said was he almost made a wish. Like, they brought out the birthday cake and the candles, and they said, "Make a wish, Johnny," and he closed his eyes and
and he was standing next to a well.
Like, Perriman's going to need 4 weeks to get into shape, and then he's going to play. Don't be surprised if Perriman does not play this year.
Blaine Gabbert's going to stay the quarterback after the bye week. They're at Seattle.
Yes.
I'm going to read a bunch of like non-skill position player injuries, and you tell me what's significant. Let me just read them, and then tell me what's significant. Oakland center Rodney Hudson may miss this week's game. Indianapolis defensive end Henry Anderson out for the year with a torn ACL. Giants defensive tackle Jonathan Hankins out for the year with a torn pectoral muscle. Same injury for Philadelphia linebacker Jordan Hicks. He's out for the year. Jets kicker Nick Folk out 4 to 6 weeks. Green Bay cornerback Casey Hayward has a concussion, and they were already down 2 cornerbacks going into the Carolina game. And as mentioned, Dallas linebacker Sean Lee and Anthony Hitchens are banged up. Anything have serious fantasy implications here?
Serious fantasy implications. Well, anytime the Raiders lose one of their good linemen, that could be a problem for them. And Rodney Hudson's been one of them. So that's something that could mess around with Latavius Murray. But I want to see if Sharif Floyd plays for the Vikings. That was one of the reasons why Todd Gurley was still a really good start last week. And everybody was starting Gurley anyway. But we had a feeling Gurley was going to have a good game, even because of Sharif Floyd being out. And linebackers were also banged up for Minnesota. Henry Anderson was a real good player for the Colts defensive line, but it didn't make that much of a difference because their defense is just terrible. And now it's even more terrible. Jonathan Hankins, Giants, same thing. They weren't great against the run. Now he's out. It's going to make it worse. Jordan Hicks was a heck of a player. He was on my IDP team. I'm mad and I feel bad that he's out, but I don't think that's going to be terrible for Philadelphia because they've got some decent linebacker depth. It might mean that Kiko Alonso is going to have to step up and play more. Nick Folk, did you talk about that one on Monday, Adam?
I started him in a league, yeah, Nick Folk.
I started him in a league, too.
That sucked.
And he got hurt in pregame warmups. Jets didn't have to say anything or do anything about it. And fantasy owners got a raw deal. That stinks. There are definitely people who lost because they started Nick Folk. And he had a good matchup, too. Casey Hayward used to be a really good corner for Green Bay. He's gone the other way. And then Sean Lee and Anthony Hitchens, that will definitely impact Tampa Bay.
Remember when I said I'm going to read all of them and you just tell me what's... I didn't want the rundown of each one, Dave.
I'm sorry.
Well, you should be.
I'll stop talking then. You don't want to hear my analysis on football? That's fine.
I do.
I'll sit here and make a fart joke.
That actually might be better. But so I have one great waiver wire pickup for everybody that I forgot. Barth, Vader, people... Connor Barth, here's your
arm movements
here,
and everything.
Here's your second stat of the day, a bonus stat of the day. If you take Connor Barth's fantasy points, add them to Kyle Brinza's fantasy points, you get the number 5 kicker in fantasy in our standard scoring format. And consider Brinza missed 6 out of 12 field goals. So if you give Barth 4 of those 6, which I think is very reasonable considering he's like 12 of 13 or something like that, He's the number two fantasy kicker, and he's like 35% owned. I've been Barth Vadering for 3-4 weeks. Get on the bandwagon, people. Okay. Best part about Star Wars is Barth Vader getting that nickname. Waiver wire. With Roethlisberger and Bridgewater banged up, with Luck and Ryan and Rivers on bye, you need quarterbacks. Blake Bortles, we've outlined him. Other options for this week, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Kirk Cousins against the Saints, Brian Hoyer, who has scored between 21 and 29 fantasy points in 5 straight games, but 2 tough matchups coming up at Cincinnati and the Jets at home, and Marcus Mariota, who lit up those Saints. So those are some options that are more widely available. Fitzpatrick, Cousins, Hoyer, Mariota. Who would you be interested in starting if you had to?
If I had to start one of them, Hoyer would be at the top, followed by Cousins and Fitzpatrick. And I know you're nervous to start Kirk Cousins because he could implode at any point. But it's New Orleans on the road. Their defense is bad at home.
Yeah.
And I think Washington's going to be up to the task to bang him up a little bit. And I think Washington actually wins.
Is this going to continue for Hoyer, or is this crazy streak going to end?
What's happening here is Hoyer takes advantage of garbage time, or if the game ends up being competitive, he plays fairly well. I do think it can continue. I'll tell you what. Here's the scene, Adam. I'm in my house. It's Monday. It's rankings day. It's projection day. It's watch as much film as you can day. And I'm agonizing over who to rank 11th among quarterbacks between Carson Palmer, who's at Seattle, Brian Hoyer at Cincinnati, and Matthew Stafford at Green Bay. Now, normally you go, oh, yeah, Stafford, because he's awesome, and there's going to be points and blah, blah, blah. But Stafford, last time we saw him, had a dreamboat matchup against the Chiefs, and he loused it up. And I don't know if I want to trust Matthew Stafford. And I don't know if I want to trust Carson Palmer, who's going up at Seattle. That's a dangerous matchup. And so Hoyer's there. He's at Cincinnati. It's a matchup where we know he'll throw a good amount. It's on Monday. DeAndre Hopkins will be there. And the way he's been rolling, I couldn't put Hoyer ahead of Carson Palmer, but I did put him ahead of Stafford.
I am looking at your rankings for the first time.
No, you're not.
You're looking
at last week's rankings.
Oh, okay. So they have the current matchups, but the order is...
Right. Which is why Devontae Freeman is still the number one.
Okay.
Would you like to see them for real? Should I publish them live on the air?
Do it.
You'd like?
Make it happen.
All right, I'm doing it.
And I was like, I don't see Matthew Stafford.
Give it 5 minutes, Adam.
Okay, I will.
But
yeah.
What do you think of that? I've got Palmer, Hoyer, Stafford, Cousins.
I think I would trust Palmer.
Listen, I hate to do it, but I love his receiver.
No, I would go Cousins. I would go Cousins. I would cite the same stat. He's going to have either his best, second best, or third best games game against New Orleans. I think I'd go Cousins.
Where did Mariota fall in? Was that his second best game?
No, dude. He had 40 points. That was his best game.
Okay. Well, I know he had 4 touchdowns against Tampa, but I guess the yardage wasn't there then. Yeah, you're right. It was his best game.
I think did he have a rushing touchdown this week too?
Did he? Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
All right, I could look that up, but, yeah, so I think I would go Cousins, but that's tough. I was really interested in picking up Stafford because I dropped him last week, and then I thought, you know what? I'll pick him up for Green Bay. He scored 25 or 26 fantasy points at Green Bay last year in week 17. You know,
check out his first matchup against the Packers each of the last 3 seasons.
Bad?
Bad.
And I'm also worried about Green Bay's pass rush. They do get a lot of sacks, and that's what killed him against Kansas City. So. I'd have trouble trusting him for sure.
Yeah, and we don't know where the offensive line is at. We don't know where the coaching is at. I mean, it was such a mess that game in London. First game last year against Green Bay was at home, 246 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. First game in 2013 at Green Bay, 262 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. First game against Green Bay at home in 2012, 266 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. He does have 2 games with 3 touchdowns against Green Bay in the last 2 seasons, but it was the second meeting, and I'm just spitballing here thinking that he just learns more after the first meeting and goes out there and he does better.
I don't know.
He makes me nervous.
Yeah, it makes me nervous too. Mariota did not have a rushing touchdown, but he did have 371 passing yards.
Okay, he had an amazing game.
Let's move on here.
I don't know if I could be talked into Kirk Cousins over Carson Palmer.
You also could look for Joe Flacco on the waiver wire. He is 78% owned, but he may have been dropped because of the bye week. He's facing Jacksonville, and he's had a nice year. No Steve Smith. That hurts.
That hurts a lot, but I would take him over Palmer.
Okay.
See, this is where things get weird for me because I trust Flacco as a quarterback. I think Flacco's very good. So I'll take a chance on him against Jacksonville, over Palmer, but I can't pull the same trigger with Kirk Cousins.
I understand. I don't think
it's
an easy call.
Now, maybe as the week moves on, I can be swayed that way. I don't dig deep yet. I haven't done that dig yet, but I'm going to start today. And so by Thursday, when we do the start sits, I might have a good compelling reason for sitting Palmer.
Wait, so where's Fitzpatrick in all this?
He's behind them all.
Why?
He plays on Thursday against Buffalo, and I'm just a little nervous about him.
Okay.
Not a lot.
Okay.
I'm less nervous about Cousins.
All right, Flacco's out there. Romo is not going to play this week. He's 73% owned. You should at least check your waiver wire to see if Romo's available.
Good advice.
And if you're desperate, Landry Jones is 2% owned, and he'll face Cleveland. Some quarterback questions from the masses. From David K., Palmer or Carr this week?
Carr.
From No Name here, looking
That's
for a
Ben.
Bye week replacement for what? Who?
It's Ben.
From?
Philadelphia.
Looking for a bye week replacement for Rivers. I've got Mariota on my bench. So would you go Cousins or Fitzpatrick or Mariota?
Cousins.
Here's one from a guy whose name I cut off. Sorry about that. Dalton owner has Romo on his bench. Should I drop Romo to pick up Bortles? Who would you rather have rest of the season, Romo or Bortles?
I think Romo is the right answer to that.
Romo does not have good matchups, but I don't know that it matters with him.
Right.
All right. Antoine Merriweather from Los Angeles. I had a feeling that was a fake name, so I looked up who Antoine Merriweather is, and I believe it is Damon Wayans' character in, like, Men on Books from In Living Color.
Okay.
So just saying that. He says, Dear Ethan, Isaac, and Chris. I don't know who those people are. Week 10, luck is on a bye. Would you drop Cutler for Tannehill, Bortles, Bradford, or Mariota?
Bortles.
And Ryan in Gainesville. Lost Big Ben again. I have Big Ben and Romo. Should I drop Roethlisberger for either Carr or Bortles? Or drop Romo for one of those two guys?
Yeah, see, I would drop Romo for Bortles.
Okay.
I still believe in Roethlisberger when he comes back.
We will get to running backs in a second, but I want to congratulate Shannon from Katy, Texas, for winning the CBS Sports FanDuel contest in Week 9. Shannon and her boyfriend Mike, they both play in our contests, and Shannon is going to be playing in the Week 11 contest. She finished number one. She beat me, Dave, and Jamie. I can't believe that you only have 1 week left to compete against us at FanDuel.com/CBSPod. FanDuel.com/CBSPod. $10 to enter. You can read the rules on the website. A maximum of 10 entries. Beat me, Dave, and Jamie, all three of us this week, and you're in the Week 11 contest, which is free and has $100,000 in free prizes. And oh my gosh, we're in Week 10.
Yeah, we are.
It's insane. The playoffs are like around the corner.
It's crunch time.
Yeah, it sure is. FanDuel is the leader in 1 week fantasy football. It's also great for basketball, baseball, college football, and hockey. If you want some FanDuel advice, you can check out our Daily Fantasy Live podcast in iTunes. Here's how it works. You enter a contest, can be for as little as $1. There are no sign-up fees either. You're given a budget. Each player has a price. You look for some bargains. You select what you think is going to be the best lineup. It's not hard. It's not time-consuming. In fact, it's really a lot of fun. And then you watch football, and hopefully you win some money. Use our offer code when you sign up. That's CBSPOD. They'll match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200, and that'll get earned as you play. FanDuel.com, the offer code is CBSPOD. All right, we need running backs. Let's go through the list. James Starks with a bullet at number one, but Carlos Williams too, Dave. Tell me your thoughts on Carlos Williams, 67% owned.
We don't know what the deal is with LeSean McCoy and whether or not he's going to play. He seems optimistic that he'll be ready to go against the Jets. But even if he plays, he's not going to be at 100%. And Carlos Williams continues to see work, and he's got this nose for the end zone. He's making unbelievable plays. I started him in a league, and it helped me out immensely. I don't mind picking him up one bit. He's the best stash among the running backs this week, if you can still get him. Starks, obviously, is somebody who's more than a stash, but Williams is right behind him. I agree with him being number two.
Three tough matchups in a row, and four out of five. The Bills' schedule is about to get just, like, ungodly. It is.
Yeah, they have the Jets twice before the season ends.
But listen to this. They've got 3 straight road games and 5 out of 6 on the road at the Jets, at New England, at the Chiefs, home against Houston, at the Eagles, and at the Redskins before finishing with Dallas and the Jets at home. Like, they're not making the playoffs.
No.
That's a tough schedule.
Yeah.
Matt Jones is 3 for Jamie. Then the James White, Brandon Bolden combo. We talked about those guys. Joik Bell is 49% owned. Do you have any interest in Joik Bell?
I think the Lions have interest in Joik Bell. He was certainly the one that got most of the work in London. I don't know how they're going to retool it coming out of the bye, but I don't think Bell did anything bad that's going to force him off the field.
Things change coming out of the bye sometimes. The Broncos,
they always do. Something happens. The coaches go back and they do self-scouting of the team.
Right.
But if you're thinking logically, are the Lions looking at the film and going, oh yeah, we need to get Amir Abdullah more involved?
I don't know. I'm thinking, if you're thinking logically, the Lions are one of the worst teams in football and they picked Amir Abdullah with a second round pick.
Yes.
And then they say, we got to get Amir Abdullah more involved. So.
Yeah, but they've tried to get him more involved and it hasn't really worked out.
They haven't tried that hard.
They haven't tried that hard to do anything.
I have Amir Abdullah in one league and I'm stashing him and I just want to see what happens this week coming out of the bye.
Against Green Bay? That's fair.
I just want to see. Okay, so.
But I'll tell you what. James Starks, Carlos Williams. Those guys look better to me than Amir Abdullah.
Not even close.
Right.
Antonio Andrews is 74% owned. His carries have gone up 5 straight weeks. And he's got, again, not great matchups. Carolina at Jacksonville, Oakland and Jacksonville, and then the Jets, and then the Patriots. Actually, geez, those are 6 bad matchups in a row.
Right. Yeah. Poor Tennessee.
So what are you thinking? Just like 8 fantasy points a week?
Yeah, he's going to be right in that 24 range among running backs pretty much every week. Although once the buys are done, he'll be farther down than that.
Duke Johnson is 68% owned. Do you think that his role will increase?
Yeah. No. I think his role is right where it is.
And if you're desperate, Sean Drone is 5% owned. He's got terrible matchups coming up. A bye and then at Seattle and home against Arizona. Who would you drop in this group? Guys who are probably over-owned. Rashad Jennings at 90%.
Yes.
Melvin Gordon at 85%.
Yes.
Carlos Hyde at 84%?
Probably.
CJ Spiller, 82%?
Yes.
Andre Ellington, 75%.
Yeah, that's the one. Hyde, too, to a degree. Although I'm not sure where Hyde's really going to be at when he does come back. I guess Ellington would be my favorite of that group to hang on to.
Some running back questions. A tweet from Kyle. Should I trade Stephon Diggs for Carlos Williams? Diggs is my 4th receiver, and I am a McCoy owner.
It's not a fair deal even up, like in the trade chart, but it works for you. And I told you that the Diggs bubble would eventually burst, and it did.
Wait a second. He had one bad game. That doesn't mean his bubble burst.
Right. He does have a better matchup this week, but it depends on who his quarterback is.
Yeah, that is an issue.
A little bit.
Next question is from Pablo from, I can't pronounce this.
I've never heard of that town.
It's in Iceland. Reykjavik.
Reykjavik.
Reykjavik?
I think that's it.
Okay.
I'm here.
You would know. Geography, man. As a Patriots fan and a Dion Lewis owner, I approach waivers this week with a heavy heart. James White is on the waiver wire, but so is Blake Bortles. Who would you make your priority? I have Adrian Peterson and Charhut West. Would you go with James White or Blake Bortles?
Reykjavik.
You just did the pronunciation.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
That's
great. I just played it for everybody to hear.
Who would you prioritize, Dave? Bortles or James White?
Bortles.
Okay. You're just not that interested in James White.
I know it stinks because usually when you lose a running back, you think, okay, I can just go and pick up the replacement on waivers and everything will be okay. I don't think Dion Lewis has a good replacement on waivers.
Okay.
I just don't see James White getting that type of work and that type of production.
Maddie Not-So-Ice in Missouri says, by the way, Pablo said, dear Bunk, McNulty, and Bubbles. That is a The Wire reference. And for those of you who don't know, another thing you can get mad at me for, I think The Wire is the most boring show in TV history. I stopped watching after 6 or 7 episodes. If you want a real show, watch The Shield. It's about 1,000 times better than The Wire. Maddie's question, he says, Dear Murdoch, 2D, and Russell, I only have one person I'm comfortable dropping from my roster. I have LeSean McCoy. Do I put in my claim for Carlos Williams or Jeremy Langford? As the McCoy owner, Dave.
Mm-hmm. I'd get Carlos Williams.
Right.
Because eventually Jeremy Langford's going to go back to the bench.
And that'll do it for our running back questions. Wide receivers to pick up. Davante Adams, 66% owned. That's Jamie's number one priority. Kamar Aiken, Marvin Jones, Reuben Randall, Devin Funchess, who Dave said on a video last week was like his deep sleeper flyer for the rest of the season, and he had a good game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Davante Adams, Kamar Aiken, Marvin Jones, Reuben Randall, Devin Funchess, and that's his top five.
I would prioritize these names in order of how excited I would be to start them on a regular basis. Like, who among this group has the best shot at being a potential number two or number three receiver for my fantasy team for the rest of the season? I think Adams is the number one based on where he is, the targets he's been getting, a lot of the matchups that are left for the Packers, his quarterback. It's all good. Number two is up for debate because I don't know if Kamar Aiken is that guy. I know he's the number one guy in Baltimore, but that doesn't mean he's going to get a lot of numbers. Marvin Jones is definitely not the number one guy in Cincinnati, and his schedule isn't necessarily great either. But I do like the fact that he gets a decent amount of targets, and there's been some nice production. He's been hit or miss. Randall's been just as hit or miss, and Funchess is a guy that is still coming up and learning his way, but I like his potential.
Who do you think's better rest of season, Davante Adams or Michael Floyd?
I'll take Floyd.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Who's better rest of season, Floyd or Diggs?
I'll take Diggs.
Davante Adams or... I said this one yesterday to Heath and Nick. They both said Adams. Rashard Matthews or Adams?
I think you got to say Adams at this point. The Dolphins are a tar pit.
Thank you for not saying dumpster fire. That has become...
too cliche.
Yeah, it's just like so overused.
And how many people have actually seen a dumpster fire, by the way?
I haven't.
Have you, Adam? No. You live in New York City. There's dumpsters all over the place.
Yeah, no, I never have. I never have.
Okay.
All right, so those are your five there to consider. Some other guys, Robert Woods. I don't know why he was on that list.
No, I don't know why he is either.
Oh, maybe second receivers do better against the Jets. I don't know.
Maybe.
Michael
great,
Floyd.
They're going to run the ball like crazy.
Michael Floyd is 74% owned.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to pick him up.
Dorial Green-Beckham, Justin
Got a
Hunter.
Lot of targets.
Yeah, no Kendall Wright. Green-Beckham, yeah. Hunter, Douglas, is that how you would order them, or would you switch Douglas and Hunter?
No, Beckham's the number one for fantasy. There's nothing to get that excited about over Harry Douglas.
Are you excited about...
It was good to see Green-Beckham. It was good to see him get a good opportunity. He's like the next Devin Funchess.
Are you excited about him?
A little bit, yeah.
Cole
I'm excited
Beasley.
About his quarterback.
Cole Beasley and Brian Walters, who is on Jacksonville and would theoretically be their number two receiver at Baltimore if Hurns doesn't play.
I don't know if he's actually going to go and line up on the outside if Hurns doesn't play. His role is backup slot guy.
So...
They might move into more two tight end formations.
The other wide receivers that we could talk about on the potential drop list for Jamie. Golden Tate. Drop him?
Yeah.
Travis Benjamin.
You drop Golden Tate unless you've got Calvin Johnson.
Right.
I think that's really what it's come down to for poor Golden Tate.
Travis Benjamin, Andre Johnson, Anquan Boldin, Mike Wallace, all over 70% owned.
Yeah. Think about what we did with the waiver wire receivers. Which of these guys that we just talked about have potential to be number two or number three guys for you week in and week out?
How on earth is Mike Wallace 71% owned? What are you thinking, people?
People are lazy.
I guess so. Tight ends to pick up. Ebron headlines the list because he's got two nice matchups coming up. Green Bay on the road and Oakland, who is just awful against tight ends. Although
Ravens next four, Adam.
Yeah, because Green Bay twice. You know against Oakland it's going to be Pettigrew who catches the touchdown, right?
I hope not. That would make me sad.
Austin Seferian Jenkins, Richard Rodgers, Kyle Rudolph, who has Oakland this week, and Crockett Gilmore. Do you have anything to say about these fellows?
Gilmore will continue to get targets because of that lack of receiving excitement in Baltimore.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I like Richard Rodgers, too.
I had two team names that I wanted to throw at you on Team Name Tuesday. But here's the problem.
I didn't know today was Team Name Tuesday.
Every Tuesday is Team Name Tuesday. It can be anyway. So
this is the first I'm hearing about
that. Here's the problem. I forgot one of them, and I think the other one might have been suggested before by a listener, but how about the need for Sneed?
That's great.
Thanks, Dave.
Team Name Tuesday is off and running.
I'll try to think of the other one. I don't know why that just came to me. Okay, I think we talked about tight ends, but other ones that are available, Delanie Walker might be available in shallow leagues. He's 74% owned.
Mm-hmm. He had a nice breakout game, a mini breakout game. Like you knew who he was. But I think, that had to do with the opponent.
No, it had to do with his 61-yard touchdown catch, which never should have happened.
All right, and did you see his other touchdown catch?
It was also deflected, wasn't it?
It was as if he had a skunk in his pants. There was no one around him.
Yeah, but he caught a couple of deflected balls. Here's what his line should have been, if not for that 61-yard touchdown pass. Good game, but not great. 6 catches, 34 yards, a touchdown, and a 2-point conversion.
Which is still great for a tight end.
Yeah. Jacob Tammy, if he's on a bye, and then you'd think Hankerson would probably come back. And then which Broncos tight end do you want?
Vernon.
Okay. DSTs.
It's not with lots of excitement that I say that.
Actually, before we get to DSTs, would you keep Jason Witten for another week till Romo gets back?
I don't have Jason Witten anyway.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking the theoretical you who owns Jason Witten.
If I can get Ebron, I'm dropping him in a heartbeat.
You know what I'm getting at. In week 11, when Romo gets back, what is Witten?
The same thing he is now, which is a tight end that you start, but you hate yourself for it, and you wake up in the morning and you wish you hadn't done it.
Julius Thomas, how about him?
And we've all been there with Jason Witten. last week was kind of the put up or shut up game for him, but I might have to give him another shot if he's playing a game without Allen Hurns.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, DSTs.
Then he becomes the number two receiver.
Cowboys are 35% owned. They're at Tampa Bay. The Chiefs are at Denver, and the Steelers have Cleveland. So you could look at those three teams.
They're righteous.
And kickers, Connor Barth, Caleb Sturgis against Miami, Greg Zuerlein.
Couldn't Barth
Chicago.
Vader be a team name for Team Name Tuesday?
100%. But that's been thrown out there. What was my other awesome team name? It was so much better than... No, it was... The Need for Sneed is actually pretty funny, Dave.
It's hysterical.
I know. The Dropometer from our good friends on Twitter.
Dropometer.
C.J. Spiller and Anquan Boldin, 0 to 10. 10 is a drop right now. 0 is a, what are you, crazy? Don't drop these guys.
Yeah, Spiller is a 9. Boldin is an 8.
Billy Smullen asks about Alfred Blue.
6.
Kyle S. asks about Jeremy Hill.
2.
How about Andre Ellington?
4.
Sly Martinez wants to know about Travis Benjamin.
I kind of like Travis Benjamin this week, but for the most part, I would put him in a fire in a container made of metal and used for trash.
Carlos Hyde.
He's handcuffed to Travis Benjamin in that receptacle.
Oh God, this is really rough. Julius Thomas.
I guess what I'm saying is Benjamin and Hyde are like 7s.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Dropometer. Julius Thomas is a 5.
And how about Terrence Williams for Doriel Green Beckham?
Yeah, Terrence Williams shouldn't be on a fantasy roster.
I don't know about that. Like this week, maybe not, and you probably don't need to stash him. But I'm just wondering if we give the Cowboys offense a total reset starting in week 11, and Terrence Williams was a sleeper for me.
When are you going to start him and feel good about it? It's the fantasy playoffs.
Are you telling
me you're going to feel good about Terrence Williams?
Are you telling me that you can't get two good wide receivers or two good receiving options out of Dallas when they have the best offensive line and Tony Romo?
I'm telling you that you're never going to be confident in starting Terrence Williams again this season.
I think it's a long shot, and I think it's in the category of if you have a roster spot of sure, why not stash these guys. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Terrence Williams make the jump to a good number two wide receiver. He scored in week one, right?
Sure.
The only game he played for a full game with Tony Romo, he scored in that game. So.
With Tony Romo and Dez Bryant, you mean?
Yeah. Well, Dez got hurt in that game. Mm-hmm. So he actually scored, I think, when Dez was out, which is a factor. I don't want to sit here and totally endorse that. I'm just saying somebody else is going to be relevant on that team when Tony Romo gets back. It's not just going to be Dez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm not buying it.
All right. We have a little bit of time for emails. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Why would you just IM me that, Dave?
Because it freaked me out.
Go ahead and tell everybody what you IM me.
No.
That was really gross.
You can go ahead and say it.
Hey, I have a question
Normally,
for you.
I blame you for this, by the way.
Yeah, see? Dave IM'd me in the middle of the show. He said, there are disgusting short hairs on the table in the podcast room.
Let that sink in.
Yeah, it's gross.
I'm going to move over here.
I have a question for you, Dave, off subject here. Have you been watching Homeland this season?
No.
Yeah, me either. You watch
it? All right, let's get to the emails.
But you watch it, though, right?
No.
I thought you watched Homeland.
No.
Dexter?
No.
What shows do you watch? Walking Dead, right?
The Walking Dead.
That's it?
And Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, the NFL on CBS, the NFL on Fox.
Fantasy Football Today.
Well, I'm on that. I can't really watch it. Sure. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing my job.
Mike in a city known as the cradle of naval aviation, and that would be Pensacola, Florida.
Oh, good one, Adam.
Well,
I didn't know that you knew that about Pensacola.
I didn't. He put it in parentheses.
Oh.
He says, dear Harry, Skip, and Chip.
Carries.
Let's make sure we honor our military, not just this Wednesday, but every chance we get to say thank you. We don't hear about it often, but there are several men and women literally risking their lives daily. And yes, amen to that. Fantasy question. Is AJ Green a must-start going forward, and Gary Barnage or Walker this week and rest of season?
Well, McCown's back for Cleveland, so I would lean toward Barnage over Walker. And we are seeing some frustration with our friend AJ Green. People who are starting him in fantasy aren't happy with the results that they've been getting. How weird is it that Andy Dalton has been a stud for fantasy and AJ Green has not been there? I will say this. I don't want to be the guy that sits AJ Green the week that he has a big game. I don't like starting him when he has a bad game, but I will roll with those just so I know that I don't make a mistake with AJ Green. This is the difference between AJ Green and Terrence Williams, by the way.
Okay. Let's not compare the two.
Right.
Here's an email from Dustin. Where's he from?
Highland Park, Illinois.
Dustin says, you always say that you're on Skype. Why don't you give the listeners an inside look at your setup and studios and why you are on Skype and not in the studio like everyone else? I want answers. Post something to social media.
Well, our friend, he must be new to the podcast then.
Yes, I guess. So why are we on Skype? Because I live in New York and everyone else is in Florida. I used to live in Florida until January when I moved to New York. And was lucky enough to stay with the company and continue the podcast. What do our rooms look like? I am in a studio. It's like a room converted into a studio. It's cool. And Dave is in a conference room.
But it's a conference room that became a studio that became an office.
But it's really not. Like, it doesn't have... There's not very much that's studio-like about the room.
It's your office.
And now Dave is talking to Scott, who sits in the office, right, and listens to us podcast all the time. So hopefully that gives you a little peek into what we're doing. Now our next question is from Jan from San Rafael, California. CJ Anderson or Carlos Williams this week?
Carlos.
What if McCoy plays?
Carlos.
And should he drop CJ Anderson or one of his DSTs, Cincinnati and Arizona?
I don't want to drop C.J. Anderson because I think he's got minimal value. So I think I would I'd probably say goodbye to the Cincinnati.
Of course. It's not even a question.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is a question, just not a difficult one. All right, we're done, Dave. Thank you. Goodness. This is great. I had a lot of fun.
What was your favorite part?
The short hairs.
Yeah. That's weird that that's your favorite part.
And the need for Sneed.
That part wasn't good either.
I'll think of more team names that are
yeah, but now you
gotta
wait
good.
A whole week because it's,
yeah, it's true.
It's not Team Name Wednesday.
No, it's not.
Something else Wednesday.
What's your name Wednesday? What's
Waka
your team?
Waka Wednesday.
There you go. Thank you all for listening. We're back tomorrow with, Stephen O. And then Thursday and Friday we preview the games. So have a great day and watch fantasy football today live at noon Eastern. Peace.
Later.